You're listening to the Heritage Radio Network. Tonight's show is sponsored by Fairway, like no other market. Hello and welcome to Why We Cook on HeritageRadioNetwork.com. I am Erica Wides. I'm your host tonight of Why We Cook. Actually, I'm always your host, not just tonight, of Why We Cook. And you are listening to this on HeritageRadioNetwork.com. You can listen to these shows live, especially this one at 6:30 every Tuesday night, or listen to them on the website, HeritageRadioNetwork.com archive, or you can also now podcast us on iTunes, and you can take us with you wherever you go. So we are broadcasting tonight from behind Roberta's Pizzeria in Bushwick, and there's a full moon, and I can see it right outside the window, and it's pretty spectacular. And there's a nice fire going out here in the backyard. An intentional fire, not like the place is burning down. So it's a good night to be sitting here doing a radio show. And it's been a little bit warm these past few days. If you're in the Northeast, you know what I'm talking about. But it's starting to feel a little bit more wintry. And November is over, which I find utterly impossible to believe that suddenly it's December today. I don't know how that happened so fast. Where is it all going? Where is my life going? But since it's December and now we are heavily into the winter foods and winter crops at the green markets, that means that the hard shell squashes are there and time is running out. You got to get them soon because soon they'll all be gone. But there are some really great varieties of hard shell winter squashes around that you should be checking out. Things like kabocha squash, which sort of looks like a acorn squash, but it's a little bigger, green. Hubbard, which is this also beautiful, large, almost teal-colored squash. And delicata, which I really like, which sort of look like striped zucchini. There's hundreds more, too. Those are just some of my favorites. And they're all really great. They're all really sweet and meaty and delicious. Delicata, I find, is a really easy one to cook because you don't even have to peel it. You just slice it up and roast it, and you can even eat the skin. It's actually tender enough, but actually with none of them, you really don't need to peel any of them. That was bad grammar there. You don't actually need to peel any of them because you can just cut them into wedges and roast them and then just eat the flesh off of the skin, which sounds a little bit morbid, but that's what you do with a squash. So you should check them out. They're so good and so nutritious. All that great vitamin A, beta carotene, you need that, get you through the winter. And they're a really, really important part of fall and winter cooking, the winter squashes. I know they're a little bit big and scary looking, and sometimes they're hard to cut, but, you know, maybe get out like a hatchet or a saw or an axe or something and whack it open. So the reason I'm talking about these squashes is because I was looking at them in the market the other day, and I bought one for Thanksgiving, and they got me thinking about my old days as a line cook. Before I was a radio personality and before I was a chef instructor, I was a restaurant chef, and I worked as a line cook. And way back in the 90s, the mid-90s, when I was a line cook, I was working at a restaurant, and, you know, all these interesting new ingredients would kind of cross my path, things I had never really seen before or heard of. And when I was working at a restaurant called Arcadia, which was on the Upper East Side, one day the owner brought in a bottle of something called pumpkin seed oil. And I had never seen it before. I never heard of it. But she brought it in and we all tasted it and opened the bottle. And it was beautiful. It was this really great dark green, vibrant, kind of earthy, nutty smelling stuff. It was amazing. And I think we were using it on a special, on a pasta dish special. It's been so long, I can't really remember. But I think it was like a whole wheat pasta with cubes of roasted butternut squash. And I think there were pieces of squab in there. I'm getting old. It's been a long time. But anyway, then we drizzled this pumpkin seed oil over it. And it was just like magic. It was sort of like when you put, you know, truffle oil on something. But it didn't have like the foot odor funk of truffle oil. It had like this earthy, nutty, delicious pumpkin-y smell. And it was really incredible, and it really stuck with me. And I've loved using it ever since. You don't see it that much on menus, but it's such a great ingredient. And so with all these squashes and pumpkins in the market, of course, I started thinking about it. And I thought, I should talk about that on the show. So tonight I want to talk about that oil, pumpkin soda oil, plus a few others that maybe you've used or not, but maybe you want to try. Two of the oils I'll talk about, pumpkin seed and argan oil, are oils that you don't really want to cook with. You want to use as seasoning oils primarily because they're kind of too delicate and too precious. And then a couple of the other ones I'll talk about are actually oils that you want to be cooking with, like grapeseed oil or avocado or macadamia nut oils, if you can find them, if you can come across some grapeseeds easy. The other two, not so easy. But there's been a lot of talk about those oils lately, too, because they're super high in unsaturates and they're very, very healthy. And they're a lot less processed than oils like canola or sunflower or safflower, which tend to be highly processed and maybe not so good for you. So let's get back to the pumpkin seed oil anyway, because that's where we're starting. So obviously pumpkins, well, maybe not obvious to you, but pumpkins are native to North America. One of the few food crops that we eat today that are native. And the Indians here were, you know, the Native Americans were cultivating them for thousands of years and eating them way before we showed up. And when Columbus came, he saw these pumpkins and he brought them back to Europe. And they slowly made their way into European agriculture and European cuisine. But somehow they got really invested in pumpkins in Austria, and particularly in southeastern Austria, in Styria, southeastern Austria. They started to grow these pumpkins, and they became the biggest pumpkin growers in Europe. But they were growing them for the oil and the seed, not for the flesh. Maybe they were eating the flesh, but they were really interested in the seeds and the oil and the seed. Now, if you ever, you know, made your jack-o'-lantern pumpkin and you toasted the seeds, you know that they have that hard white shell on them, which is pretty tough to get through. In Mexico, they use pumpkin seeds that are shelled, the little green ones. They're called pepitas. Maybe you've seen those. But there was this genetic mutation that occurred in the pumpkins in Austria, and they didn't have the hard white shell on the seeds. They just had this papery kind of membrane, sort of like a peanut. And so it made getting to the oil and to the seed much easier because they didn't have to be shelled. And so the pumpkin seed oil became this culinary specialty of Styria in southeast Austria. And the first time I tasted it was the pumpkin seed oil was from Austria. But today I was doing a little looking around online and I found an American producer. There's a couple of guys in Wisconsin who are the first American organic producers of pumpkin seed oil. And their company's called Hay River. And you can go to hayriver.net. That's H-A-Y, river.net. And they've just bottled their first ever crop of organic American-grown pumpkin seed oil. So congrats to them. Big props for that accomplishment, because that's pretty cool. I love that they're doing an American-grown pumpkin seed oil. And I was going to try to get them to call in on the show tonight, but it didn't really work out. But I think we'll probably do a whole show on it a little bit down the road, because it's really, really interesting stuff. So again, that's hayriver.net if you're interested in checking out their oil. They're shipping that crop now, and they have a limited amount of it. So if you want to try this stuff, you should check it out. Okay, we're going to take a little break, and when we come back, we're going to talk some more about pumpkin seed oil and a few other ones. We'll be right back.
I am a lineman for the county, and I drive the main road, searching in the sun for another overload. I hear you singing in the wire, I can hear you through the whine, and the Wichita lineman is still on the line.
You're listening to the Heritage Radio Network. Tonight's show is sponsored by Fairway, like no other market. Welcome back to Why We Cook on HeritageRadioNetwork.com. I'm Erica Wides, your host for the evening. And we're talking about oils tonight, but specific oils. Oils that are very, very, very healthy and delicious and precious, like pumpkin seed oil and argan oil and macadamia nut oil. So we were talking about pumpkin seed oil in the first segment. I was talking about how most of it comes from Austria, but now there's a producer here in the States, in Wisconsin, that's producing it, and I'm going to order some. I'm excited about it. So anyway, a cool thing about pumpkin seed oil too, a little cool fact, like if you're ever at a cocktail party talking about this, is that the color of it changes depending on how much of it you're looking at. So if you put just a little bit on a plate and look at it, it's light green. But if you look at it in a bottle where you're looking through a lot of it, it's dark red. It's pretty cool. And so when you buy the bottle of it, you think it's this dark red oil, but it's really not, because when you open it up, it is light green. And this optical phenomenon is called dichromatism. So next time you're at a party, you can drop that dichromatism. And pumpkin oil is one of the strongest, the substances with the strongest dichromatism there is. And if you mix it into something that's white and opaque, it turns really, really bright green. So it's cool if you make a dip with Greek yogurt and pumpkin seed oil, you get this really nice, beautiful green. Anyway, this stuff, though, is not cheap. It is expensive to produce. It takes almost 5 pounds of seeds to make a quart of oil. So you buy a small bottle, like an 8-ounce bottle, it's going to cost you about $25. But it's worth it, because a tiny bit goes a long way. It's like perfume, which I don't like, but perfume, not the oil. You just use a little bit, because it goes a long way. It's very strong stuff. It's got this intensely nutty flavor and smell, and it's very, very rich in polyunsaturated fatty acids. So it's very good for you. In Austria, they use it as a salad dressing, and they mix it with a little honey and a little salt and the local cider vinegar. And that's a classic salad dressing in Austria. And you can also use it as a drizzle over fish, like over grilled or roasted fish is really nice, or overcooked vegetables. It's really nice in pasta dishes, particularly with whole wheat pasta, like whole wheat fettuccine is a little bit with that on top is nice. If you do that, you can roast some pumpkin or some squash, mix that in. Drizzle on the oil, then maybe put some spiced toasted pumpkin seeds on top, and then you have a pumpkin extravaganza. You have pumpkin three ways in your pasta. You can even put it on desserts, like drizzle it over vanilla ice cream or into yogurt, or like on top of like a panna cotta, and that's really nice. It really balances with vanilla and cream really well. And the pumpkin seed health benefits, like I said before, are huge. It's also very good for your eyes. It's really high in lutein and in zeaxanthin, which are both compounds that have been shown to be very, very good for eye health. It's kind of like carrots, you know, they're that color. They're orange, so they're good for your health. But pumpkin seeds are one of the richest sources. And it's also been shown as really good as a treatment for things like IBS and other intestinal disorders, and they also are doing research that shows that it may prevent things like atherosclerosis and regulate cholesterol levels. So who knew it was such a miracle? And apparently in traditional German folk medicine, pumpkin seed oil is given for intestinal parasites and tapeworms. So if you happen to find yourself in possession of an intestinal parasite or tapeworm, you may want to try the pumpkin seed oil route instead of going with the extremely powerful pharmaceuticals that are also available for that. That's all great, but I'm really interested in cooking with it and eating it. But remember that it's a delicate oil, so you don't want to heat it up. If you heat it up, it'll still taste good, but it loses its nutritional quality. You really want to use it like a good extra virgin olive oil. Drizzle it. Use it as a drizzling or a dipping oil. Use it really sparingly because it's precious and it's expensive and you don't want to destroy it. So in the same department, the used raw and sparingly oil department, is something called argan oil. And argan oil is, it's kind of esoteric. Maybe you've heard of it. It's showing up in a lot of beauty products right now. But it is an oil from Morocco, and it comes from a tree that is endangered, but once covered all of North Africa, although now it's being protected. And argan oil is from a nut that is inside of a fruit. And the fruit grows on the tree, on the argan oil, argan tree. And the way that the oil was traditionally harvested, it's not like this anymore, but traditionally it was that the Berbers, who were the indigenous people of Morocco, would shepherd goat. They would herd their goats, they whatever it's called. They had goats, and the goats would graze under the argan trees. And then when the fruit of the argan tree was ripe, the goats would climb up the trees. Did you know that goats could climb trees? They also stand on top of cows, apparently, which is crazy. The goats climb up the trees and they eat the fruit because they want the fruit. But the seeds inside, which is where the oil is, the seeds aren't digested by the goats. So the seeds pass right through the goats. And then the goats poop them out. They excrete the seeds in their poop on the ground. And then the Berbers would collect the poop. And they would extract the seeds from the poop and then press it and turn it into this precious argan oil. Now, lucky for us, nowadays it's done in a much more hygienic and sanitary way, although I'm sure something is lost in the process. There's probably some quality from that goat poop that we've lost out on in our squeamishness. But the oil has been eaten and sold in Morocco for thousands and thousands of years, even before the Phoenicians got there, they were selling it. But the tree itself is disappearing. The argan tree is, it's a very hardy and very drought-resistant tree, but it's been disappearing because of overgrazing by goats and a local population that needs wood for cooking and heating. And so the surviving trees are less now. They're less than half now than they were 50 years ago. So the tree population has really diminished. But supposedly what I read is that the trees are now protected and there's a big movement to protect them and to use the argan oil as a local industry. And it's sold today and produced today exclusively by a women's cooperative that shares the profits among local women of the Berber tribe. So that's really good. And the cooperative has established an ecosystem reforestation project so that the supply of oil won't run out. And the income that it's currently providing will not run out either. And the money is used to provide health care and education to the local women, which is awesome, and to support the whole community. But anyway, back to the oil. So after the pits are harvested from the goat poop, or in more modern ways, the Berber women sit on the floor with rocks between their knees, like flat rectangular rocks. And then they take a round stone and they pound the seeds and crack them open. It's a lot like when I was in Belize a few weeks ago watching the Mayans crack the cacao. They would roast the cacao and then pound it with rocks to extract the cacao kernels. Same idea. So they pound them open and inside is little seeds, 1 to 3 seeds that look sort of like almonds, sliced almonds, and they're very, very rich in the oil. The kernels are then removed, the seeds, and they're very, very gently roasted. And the roasting develops the distinctive nutty flavor of the oil, which is what this oil is all about, is the flavor and the health benefits. But it's got this very distinctive, very deep nutty flavor. So it's roasted and then it's pressed and it takes a few days and it takes a lot of argan fruit to make the oil. It takes about 32 kilos of fruit to make 1 liter of oil. And 32 kilos is about what you get from one tree. So you need one entire tree's worth of fruit to make 1 liter of oil. So it's pretty precious stuff. And after the oil is pressed out, there's a paste that's left behind too. And the paste is eaten sort of like peanut butter. It's kind of a thick, brown, chocolatey looking paste that tastes a little bit like peanut butter. And it's also very, very nutritious. So like I was saying about the pumpkin seed oil, the argan seed oil is very delicate. It's very expensive. It's very precious, and you should use it sparingly. If you buy it, it makes really nice dressings. It's also just nice mixed with blood orange juice, and we're getting into blood orange season. Looks really beautiful on a plate when you do that, just drizzled, unemulsified, and really nice on salads. And in Morocco, they drizzle it into tagines and stews right before serving them so that the heat doesn't destroy the delicate quality of the oil. And like with the pumpkin seed oil, too, you can drizzle it on grilled fish or roasted fish or overcooked vegetables. It's nice mixed into couscous if you kind of rub it into the couscous before you steam the couscous. That's really nice, too. Most of the oil is bottled pure for cooking. About 250 milliliters of oil is going to set you back about $30. But, you know, it's worth it. How much did you spend on your last pair of shoes, right? Put a lot of value into those, so it's worth it, even though it's precious. And it's also apparently extremely healthy, very, very, very high in vitamin E and antioxidants, and supposedly really great for your skin and a great anti-inflammatory, really, really good for your heart, you know, like olives, like pumpkin seeds, all of those things. Basically, everything they've been eating in the Mediterranean since the beginning of time is really, really, really good for you. And everything that we've been eating here since we got here a couple hundred years ago, really, really bad for you. Not everything. So that's the argan seed oil, which I urge you, I implore you to try if you can afford it. It's pretty expensive stuff. We're going to take a little break, and when we come back, we'll talk about a few more oils, but these are oils that you can cook with. We'll be right back on Why We Cook.
Everybody's talking at me. I don't hear words they're saying. Only the echoes of my mind. People stopping still. I can't see their faces. Only the shadows of their eyes. I'm going where the sun keeps shining through the pouring rain. Going where the weather suits my clothes. Banking off of the northeast winds, sailing on summer breeze.
You're listening to the Heritage Radio Network. Why We Cook is sponsored by Fairway Market, like no other market. Sorry, I'm laughing at the choice of song. I don't really know what it means in relationship to my show, but it's pretty funny. Okay, anyway, welcome back to Why We Cook on heritageradionetwork.com. Remember that you can listen to these shows live when they're aired. You can also listen to them archived or podcast them on iTunes. And if you are a fan of Why We Cook, and why wouldn't you be, you can also find me on Facebook. Just look for Why We Cook on Heritage Radio Network on Facebook. And you can become a fan, comments, questions, angry expletives, whatever you want. Let me know. I'd love to hear from you. Okay, so tonight's show has been about oils, you know, edible oils. And the first two we talked about were really expensive, high-quality oils that you use very sparingly. Pumpkin seed oil and argan oil. These oils that I want to get to now are oils that are really meant to be cooked with. They have very high smoke points and they're very neutral, so you want to cook with them. I'm not saying that you shouldn't use your good olive oil for cooking or canola, things like that, but olive oil kind of suffers when you heat it up. It loses a lot of its good quality. It loses some of its aroma, and it loses some of its health benefits if you get it too hot. So I like to save my good olive oil for finishing off food with, or for sautéing at lower temperatures. But if I want to cook something really, really hot, I want an oil with a really good smoke point. Like if I'm doing a nice high sear, or if I'm frying. I don't really fry much at home, but if I'm going to fry. So these oils are really designed for that sort of cooking. They can also be used for dressings and emulsions and mayonnaise because they have really neutral flavors. But they all have really high smoke points, which means that when you get them really hot, your kitchen won't fill up with smoke. And living in an apartment without ventilation, like I do, that's one of my priorities because I can't cook anything without filling up the apartment with smoke. So the first one I want to get to is grapeseed oil, which is around. We use it at work sometimes. You don't see it that much, but grapeseed oil is a really good oil for cooking. It is obviously extracted from grape seeds. And a lot of the grape seeds that it is extracted from come from the wine industry. And so you're getting the grape seeds from a crop that's traditionally not very heavily sprayed, which is good. Because if you use things like cottonseed oil or sunflower or canola, those are commodity crops and they're very heavily sprayed, corn oil especially. So you want to try to avoid those. The chemicals and the pesticides and all that really accumulate in the oils. So grapeseed oil is good because of that. And it also has a pretty high smoke point. You can get it to about 420 degrees Fahrenheit, which is pretty good for an oil. That's pretty hot. So you can use it at a pretty high temperature. And grapeseed oil can be used for things like stir fries and sauteing and deep frying, but it's a little bit pricey for that because if you try to fill up a pot or a fryer with it, it might be a little bit more expensive, but it's really good for stir fry or for saute because it has a really light texture to it, so it actually spreads out in a pan really well. So you can cook with less of it, even though it costs more. And it has a very light, clean taste to it. It's not completely neutral. It has a little bit of a nuttiness, but it's clean and neutral enough that it's often used paired with other strong flavors, other seasonings, other herbs to make salad dressings, things like that. It has the same calories as all other oils. All fats and oils have somewhere between 100 and 120, 120 per tablespoon. But like I said, because it's thin and has this light texture, it's not very viscous. And so it sort of goes further. It spreads out further. So you can actually cook with less of it if you're trying to eat less fat. And if you have good technique when you're frying, like not overcrowding the pan and having your oil at the right temperature, you can use it for frying and use a lot less of it, which is good. I'm also a really big fan of using grapeseed oil for making popcorn. I find that it makes really crisp, really light popcorn. And if you've listened to the show before, you know that I tend to eat popcorn very regularly, like almost every night in my Whirly Pop. And grapeseed oil works in the Whirly Pop like a charm. And it's also used cosmetically, like all those other oils we were talking about. It's really good for damaged skin, especially around the eyes. So if you have damaged skin around your eyes, you can rub in some grapeseed oil. And I was reading about it today, and somebody said it's also really good for shaving. You can put it on your skin and shave with that. And also really good for feet and for foot problems. So if you have itching on your feet or scaly, flaking feet or foot odor, if you wipe them down with grapeseed oil at night, does the trick. I don't speak from personal experience. I don't know. I was just doing research, and this is what I found out there. So you can rub it on your feet and repair them while you're sauteing your winter squash cubes, which you'll then drizzle with your pumpkin seed oil and serve with your argan oil vinaigrette. A little hint here. If you ever shop at stores like Marshall's or TJ Maxx, they always sell off high-end so-called gourmet products at a really cheap price. They have housewares. Both of them have housewares departments. And I'm always going there and looking at the food that they sell because they sell really good stuff, really cheap. So I bought this grapeseed oil there. I got a liter-size can of it for like $6.99. And then I went to Williams-Sonoma, and they had the same size can, the same exact brand, and it was like $16. So it pays to shop around for this stuff. It's expensive, but you have to know where to look. And FYI, Marshall's and TJ Maxx also are really good for buying things like smoked pimenton, smoked paprika, which I love. They always seem to have it. I've also gotten organic Napa Valley olive oil there, too. So who knew? Okay, anyway, we have to move it along here because we're running out of time. But a couple other ones I just want to mention in the high heat cooking oils that you may have never thought about using. One of them is avocado oil, which is an edible oil, but it's pressed from the fruit of the avocado, not the pit. It's one of the few oils that actually comes from the fruit, not the seed, which is kind of wacky. And you can use avocado as a cooking oil, or you can use it raw as a drizzle, like a extra virgin olive oil or a pumpkin seed oil. It's good either way. But avocado oil has a ridiculously high smoke point of almost 500 degrees, which, if you don't know smoke points, is really high. That's like nuclear high. So it functions really well at high heat in pans, and it's really good as sort of a carrier for other flavors. You can heat it up and infuse it with spices, and it'll carry those spices really well because its flavor is very neutral. Like the other ones, it's also really, really high in monounsaturated fats and very high in vitamin E. You probably know avocado is really good for you, but you didn't know about the oil. Also really good for stir fry, saute, that kind of thing. I haven't tried it for popcorn, but I might. If anybody wants to send me some, I would. And then the last one I want to get to, just before we run out of time, is macadamia nut oil, which you don't see that much here, but it's become sort of like the foundation of modern Australian cuisine because they grow all these macadamias in Australia. And it's a really excellent frying oil. It can also get pretty hot. Its smoke point is about 410. And that's good. That's pretty high. And a couple of the properties of macadamia nut oil are important because it's very healthy for you. And one is that it's up to 85% monounsaturated, and that's very high, and puts it up there, you know, with olive oil. It's even better for you than olive oil. And it also has a very, very long unrefrigerated shelf life because a lot of these oils are very volatile and delicate, and they have a short shelf life, particularly the pumpkin seed and the argan. You want to keep them refrigerated and keep them in the dark. Well, it's dark in your fridge. When you close the door, the light goes off. I know we all tried to figure that one out when we were little. But you want to keep them in the dark. Keep them cold. They will get rancid after a few months. But macadamia nut oil has a 2-year unrefrigerated shelf life, which is incredible for a nut-based oil. But still, keep it away from light and from heat. And just one more that I'll throw out there that you've maybe never even heard of is something called rice bran oil. When the rice is polished to remove the bran, to turn it from brown rice to white rice, the bran has a lot of oil in it. And that's why originally the bran was removed from the rice, because the oil would cause the rice to spoil and go rancid, and it couldn't be held for long-term storage. So the bran would be polished off. And in Japan, they use that bran to make all kinds of stuff. They make rice bran fermented pickles. They make a drink called amazake out of the fermented rice bran. They use it for a lot of stuff, but they also press it for oil. And rice bran oil comes from the rice bran and also the germ and the inner husk of the rice. And it has another 500-degree smoke point, so it's a good one. Personally, I've never really seen it in a store. I think you'd probably have to order it. But if anybody's used it, let me know. I'd like to try it and check it out. So anyway, that's it on Why We Cook tonight. I have run out of time. Remember that you can find these shows anytime online at iTunes or at heritageradionetwork.com. Thanks to Fairway again for sponsorship, and thanks to Lorenzo and Nat for producing and engineering. We'll see you next week. Thanks.